right, our final case for this morning is Willis against Dart, and in this instance I believe we are going to hear only from the appellant, Mr. Parikh.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Amal Parikh and I represent the appellant, Mr. Willis, in this case. The reason we're here today is that the district court abused its discretion in denying Mr. Willis's Rule 60B motion because it refused to consider his response to an order, to a show cause order. And this refusal ultimately deprived Mr. Willis of an opportunity to be heard on the merits of his claim by the district court.
So when do you think the final judgment was entered in this case?
For the purposes of this appeal, it's our belief, or we're accepting the fact that the final judgment was issued on, I believe, February 5th.
That's the 150-day rule that you're using?
That's correct.
So the thing that the reason I'm asking that question is because when the court issues its August 6th order, it does things that strike me as contradictory. It construes Mr. Willis's letter as a Rule 59E motion. Okay, I can understand that, and denies it. But then it also adds that if Mr. Willis, within the next 21 days, responds to the initial show cause order, it might consider his submission. That I don't understand at all, because that implies that all of the rest of this activity that's been going on is something less than a final judgment, and that it really probably shouldn't have been understood as a 59E. So what sense am I to make of that?
I think the record is a little bit confusing on that, because after the district court issued the order on August 5th, or August 6th, I believe, Mr. Willis did file a response to that.
Right, that's the thing he sends in, and I was wondering when that actually got docketed. I guess it does eventually get docketed, but he mails in the response August the 27th. So in a sense, he's taking advantage of what the district court offered, but that goes off into the black hole, and you know, when he asks about it, the court says, oh, you know, you're too late, you can't file a second 59E motion. Seems to say that you can't even file a 60B motion, which isn't right. I mean, there's no tolling effect of a 60B
right.
motion, so it doesn't have certain impact, but it's fileable within a year. But my first concern really is whether we have a final judgment in this case before the February 5 order that we have before us, because if we don't, then, you know, then we're in a different standard of review and lots of other things are different.
Right. So the way we've briefed the issue is that that the February 5th order was a 60B motion.
I understand that's how you briefed it, but
right.
I'm questioning whether with this permission to respond within 21 days, isn't that a giant flag that the court doesn't think it's really finished with the case and it's going to wait and see Mr. Willis does something?
I believe that is right. The reason we briefed it as being a 60B motion is because we think it's successful under the standard of review or the abuse of discretion for the 60B,
so you're
which
kind
is
of
higher
say,
than the...
Giving everything the benefit of the doubt, you still think you win even if it's 60B.
That's correct.
Know, although that's a high standard.
It is a high standard, but it's an abusive discretion standard, but there is a higher scrutiny on the district court, particularly in this case where Mr. Willis is acting as a pro se complainant at the time.
Mm-hmm. So you briefed several parts of 60B, and why don't you talk about 60B1? He's well within the year for 1, 2, or 3.
That's correct, Your Honor, and we believe not only 60B1, but he would be successful under 60B4 and 60B6 as well.
Yeah,
but
I think
under
4 is a heavier lift for you. I just have to say I'm skeptical about 4, but why don't you talk about 1?
Sure. So under 60B1, it'd be a relief of judgment for mistake, and in his letter to the court in August of August 27th, Mr. Willis identifies the mistake that the court made, which was that Mr. Willis never received the original order to show cause and did not have an opportunity to respond to that order. And he also indicates that he asked the court to allow him to proceed in forma pauperis, but that he would also, if the court deemed necessary, would make payment to the $400 filing fee or some portion of the $400 filing fee so he could proceed with his.
Do you know anything about his present status?
He is currently incarcerated.
I don't mean this as a joke. Did he ever get the tooth filled?
I believe he did, but I'm not sure.
The one that should have been, he pulled the wrong one. And I'm just curious because, that was the pain and suffering that he got the dentist there in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually got the tooth filled. I know he did see a dentist after the incident that he is complaining about.
Okay, well, that's a sidelight, but in fact, you're basically saying that under 60B, this is sort of a repeated, it's a 60B challenging an earlier 60B, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah, so you just got this chain of 60B appeals, and it's abusive discretion standard.
Yeah, it's unclear whether the district court, stated it treated the original first letter, if you call it, from July of 2015 as a 59E motion.
So there's only one 60B.
That's correct. There is only one 60B motion.
So there's the lawsuit's filed. He never gets the show cause order, so the lawsuit's dismissed. He writes, the court says, I'm going to construe this as 59, but I'm not going to give you any relief. So denies in August 6th with this, but I'm going to give you another 21 days comment. He responds, but the court doesn't do anything. And then when he writes again, the court construes that as the 60B.
That's correct. So there is only one 60B motion, and that was...
So he's not just peppering it with 60B motions.
That's correct.
He just files the one.
That's correct. There were three letters that he sent, and the last letter was just a request for status on the second letter that he had sent, which was construed as the 60B motion.
Right. All right.
I guess it's safe to say the court could have rendered and granted the motion.
That would be, our request is that the appellate court actually reverse the district court or in the alternative vacate the order and consider Mr. Willis's response to the order to show cause. Because Mr. Willis did, in his letter, explain why he was indigent and was not able to pay the full filing fee at the time.
So send it back for reconsideration of the informa pauperis request or his offer in the alternative. You would think if he can come up with the $400, he's going to have to. But anyway, to adjudicate that and let the case go forward.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Anything?
I think nothing further in this.
Okay, and the defendants, as I recall, the Cook County people filed something in this court saying that they did not wish to participate.
Correct. The complaint was never served.
The complaint had not been served.
Any of the defendants. So I believe it was a motion for non-participation.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your help, and we will take the case under advisement.
Thank you.
And with that, we are finished with our cases for this morning, so the court will be in recess.